with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who had received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were very faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you didn't plant and gathering where you didn't scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have gotten it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's the last time we're going to hear those words for a while. On Monday, we begin with St. Luke's Gospel. And at the end of these 12 weeks of focusing on St. Matthew, God gives us these 3 great parables about Jesus, which is about how we're supposed to be behaving before a second coming. On Wednesday, we had the parable on Thursday, we had the parable of the house being broken into and the call to stay awake, not to think that the master's far away. On Friday, we had the parable of the 5 wise and the 5 stupid virgins. The wise ones were constantly burning, had become the lamps, waiting for the return of the bridegroom, filled with love and expectation. Today we have the parable of the talents, and it indicates to us something new about what we're supposed to do with all the gifts that God has given us, and precisely to help identify what those very gifts are. The very beginning of this parable, St. Matthew recounts Jesus' words that the rich man gave to his servants, each according to his ability, 5 talents to 1, 2 to another, 1 to a third. To each according to his ability. It goes against our egalitarian ways to think that God does treat us differently. But he does. He treats us all with infinite love. But we don't all get exactly the same gifts that he gives to others. And the reason for that is obvious. St. Gregory the Great, 1400 years ago, said, because if we were all similarly endowed with divine gifts, we wouldn't have to share them with anybody else. But because he's made some greater in one respect than another, and the other in greater in another respect than we have to share those gifts. They become means for loving. So when we look at the talents that God has given, it's not just a sum on one scale or another, but to be able to look at them in this differentiated way first, and then second, whatever he's given us, to use that, to invest it spiritually, to bear dividends for him. Sometimes we can see ourselves as that one who has received just one talent, and we can think that with just one talent it's all or nothing. If we make the wrong investment, we lose it all, and so our fears can come on up. But as we've gone through on other occasions, a talent was a weight measurement in the ancient world. It was equivalent to $600,000 in today's money. Extraordinary. 6,000 days wages for somebody making $100 a day. So there's a lot you can invest there. And no matter what God has given us, even if we can turn to another and say, that person seems to be so much more gifted than I, we've been extraordinarily endowed. And the Lord wants us to see how we can build up his kingdom with that treasure he has placed into our hands and our hearts. But one of the things we almost never notice is what the talents are. A lot of times when we hear this parable for the first time when we're teenagers and really try to examine what Jesus is talking about, we can think about those things that don't really matter much. Whether we can sing or not, whether we can shoot basketballs or not, whether we're a good student or not. These are all talents, but they're the smaller talents. The greater talents that we've all been given in abundance is the talent of faith, the talent of the example in the intercession of the saints, the extraordinary talent that we have in God's listening to us 24/7, 365. The amazing gift of the sacraments, especially the two we can receive over and over again because God knew we would need to receive them over and over again, the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. It's important for us to say, what are we doing with those gifts? The gift of prayer time, are we just going through the motions? Or are we trying to invest that prayer? Do we just ride out the time? Or do we see every minute of that prayer as a precious gift by the Lord? The gift of the sacrament. How is Mass today going to change us differently than the way Mass changed us yesterday? How are we going to do this in his memory and live a truly Eucharistic life? St. John Vianney used to say, if only you, meaning his parishioners, received Holy Communion more faithfully and more worthily every day, you would become saints. How are we responding to that? The gifts of all the graces he's given us through the sacred scripture. How are we investing that extraordinary treasure? Do we hang on every syllable that comes from the Lord's mouth, knowing that it is the power to save? These are the extraordinary talents that he's given us. But there's another type of talent I want to focus on today that St. Paul ponders in today's first reading, which is one of the most important vocational passages that exists, because so often the devil wants to throw our weaknesses in our face, our unworthiness in our face, and to discourage us away from using everything for the kingdom. Consider your own vocation, brothers and sisters, he starts off, after he had talked about the wisdom of the cross yesterday, which is the power and the wisdom of God. He said, not many were wise by human standards. Not many were strong. Not many were noble. It's true. Jesus didn't raid the ancient rabbinical schools to find the smartest Jews to preach his gospel. He didn't go to the greatest rhetoricians. went to simple people with thick accents, without much training. Not many were powerful. It's absolutely true. St. John, it seemed, had a couple connections. We don't know how that happened. At least knew the servants of the high priest. But nobody else did. They were basically a bunch of nobodies. Nobody was of noble birth. They all came from obscure places. As did Jesus, as Nathanael said to us a few days ago on the feast of Nathanael. And yet, St. Paul says, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, the weak of the world to shame the strong, the lowly and despised of the world who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. Therefore, our weaknesses, our talent, our relative ignorance, it's a talent, our being common, ordinary, it's actually a gift, provided that we use it, because it's in that weakness that we become strong in the talent that God gives us of Himself, that treasure in vessels of clay, that our weakness is His power, that our ignorance is His wisdom, that our commonness is the means by which He will be able to show His extraordinary greatness. Do we look at our talents in this way? Do we look at our weaknesses, our frailties, even our sins, as extraordinary gifts? Most of the time we don't, let's be honest. The devil makes us jealous if he can't make us envious of the talents that others give. We see that they're good at something and we begin to wonder why God didn't give us that same gift, or beat ourselves up because we're just not like that other. But these are great gifts that the Lord wants us to invest so that in that seeming lacuna, God can come in all His plenitude. When we look at the life of St. Monica, one of the greatest talents she had was her crosses. Sure, she was a woman of great faith, but we all know she was a drunk as a young woman in a struggling marriage where she just had difficulty dealing with her mother-in-law and dealing with her husband. So she tried to escape through booze. It didn't really work. But she was still a woman of faith. But that faith needed to be tested and grow. And at first she didn't receive it in this way. But the struggles that she had of loving her mother-in-law whom she didn't like, forgiving her husband who was violent with her and mean and unfaithful, and then with her son and her son's choices, all of those became the talent by which she was eventually forged in the crucible of God's heart so that we would celebrate her feast day today. Her greatest talent was her cross, her suffering, the hardships that she bore. And the Lord allows each of us to have similar hardships. They might not be so pronounced, but each of us has family members who need conversion. What an extraordinary talent that is, that makes our prayer meaningful, because we go to prayer bringing them together with us. We might have, like she did, some weaknesses of the flesh. We might think that they're totally contrary to our vocation, and in one respect they clearly are. But the Lord might let us struggle with a thing like she struggled with alcohol, precisely so that we won't become proud, so that we will regularly need His mercy. As St. Augustine himself said, God sometimes permits lesser diseases in us so that He can cure the more important diseases. He allows us to grow in humility some of the times through these weaknesses of the flesh, so that we don't get that greatest of all spiritual cancers, which is pride. See, Monica became great because it was through the talent of her sufferings that she was brought into a far deeper communion with the Lord. It was through her tear ducts that she became extraordinarily holy, because it was through those many tears that she recognized a total dependence on God. Just want to highlight a couple things about what she teaches us with regard to the talents that are given. Today's first reading is all about that contrast between the foolish of this world and the wise. And her son Augustine had become wise in the ways of the world, studying at the greatest schools, letting it all go to his head. But I'll never forget that scene on the bench when St. Augustine was seated with his mom. His mom had had a dream that Augustine would one day be with her. And Augustine was there and using all his great gifts. And he had probably won many arguments with his mother up until that point. Augustine tried to deconstruct the dream and said, "But hey, Mom, that might just as well mean that you're seated with me here in true wisdom." And with her mother's wit and what she did know, and doubtless helped by the Holy Spirit, she said, "No, in the dream it didn't say, 'I will be with you.' It said, 'You will be with me.'" It kind of struck Augustine. Later on, as part of Augustine's conversion, we know it was the rhetoric of St. Ambrose that played such a huge role there. But it was also how God was working in the lives of so many simple people. When he was there in the house immediately before he heard Romans 14 and that great call to leave his lust behind and come shedding the deeds of darkness, he was in the house, in fact, with his friends, just saying, "How is it that all of these simple people are stealing heaven and we, with all our earthly talents, remain outside? How is that possible?" The scandal of God's having chosen the weak was precisely what allowed him to yearn all the more for what they had in simplicity. He ran out into the backyard, and that's when he heard "Tollit Legi, Tollit Legi." He opened up sacred scripture, and his life was forever changed, and the life of the church was forever changed. God continues to choose the weak, and that weakness is an extraordinary talent, not just for them, but for others. The final point is about the talent of the Mass. What a beautiful scene it is in the Office of Readings that we ponder every year on this day, when Monica was dying in Ostia. Her other son wanted her buried in her native Africa, but that didn't matter to Monica. She turned to Augustine and said, "All I ever really wanted to see was my son a Catholic Christian. He hasn't just become a Catholic, he's become a good Catholic. Bury me wherever you want. The only thing I ask of you is wherever you are, remember me at the altar." She had no idea that her son was going to be a priest. She just wanted to be prayed for. And yet, God had such greater plans for her son, not just to make him a priest, not just to make him a successor of the apostles, but to make him a true doctor of the church, in which he passed on not only what the Holy Spirit taught him through a study of sacred scripture, but passed on the extraordinary wisdom that he had learned from his mother, having breastfed off her faith for 33 years up until her death and then beyond. Today, as we come forward, we remember Monica at the altar. And the church on August 27th, until the end of time, will always remember her. Not just praying for her, because she doesn't need that anymore, but asking her prayers, so that as she prayed for her son, as she prayed for her husband, as she prayed for her mother-in-law, she might use that extraordinary talent of heaven to never cease to pray for us, so that we might invest all the talents we have right here with the greatest talent of them all. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.